Building Bridges with Mimi Rosenberg and Ken Nash. How global billionaires grow their wealth into trillions, profiting from the pandemic. Now we speak with Omar Ocampo, researcher with the Institute for Policy Studies, who joins us to talk about another tale of two classes. While SCOTUS paves the way to evict tens of thousands of tenants declaring pandemic-related economic hardship, global billionaires are seeing a $5.5 trillion pandemic wealth surge. Thank you for joining us, Omar Ocampo.
The Institute for Policy Studies, along with our partners, the Patriotic Millionaires, Oxfam International, and the Fight Inequality Alliance, we recently conducted a study, and then we found that the billionaire class, like about 2,690 individuals, saw their collective wealth increase $5.5 trillion since mid-March of last year. And as you said, all of this is in the context of unemployment, scarcity, economic precarity, people about to lose their homes, people about to be evicted. So to, you know, help put resources in the hands of the unemployed and those who may be suffering, you know, economic hardship and the risk of losing their homes, and make vaccines globally available, we recommend a 99% wealth tax. And at this rate, it would raise about $5.4 trillion, and it could make vaccines available globally and would give unemployed workers a $20,000 grant. So a global pandemic requires a global response. And even at this tax rate, all billionaires will still remain billionaires. And in fact, they would have earned, you know, tens of millions of dollars in the past year.
So What can you tell us about the issue of this surge in global billionaire wealth as millions of people have lost their lives and livelihood? Isn't that the real sickness and pandemic that we face as well? Where is the profitability coming from?
So a report released last year by Swiss bank UBS pointed out that many have been able to exploit novel technologies and deliver new products and services. So tech innovation has definitely partly driven this increase in wealth over the past year. But in general, billionaires simply betted on the recovery of global stocks. This was a smart bet on their part because governments across the globe introduced very generous stimulus packages that attempted to alleviate the initial economic impact of the pandemic and to shore up their profits. In the United States, for example, the Federal Reserve purchased corporate bonds and basically guaranteed investors a floor. This pushed the stock market up. Also, large companies took advantage of the Paycheck Protection Program, which these funds were supposed to be used by small businesses to pay their employers, but the big companies were able to take advantage of it and then enrich their shareholders. So yeah, so there was a big increase in asset prices, and this explains why billionaires got $5.5 trillion richer, even as millions of people were suffering economically.
Well, what about in addition the role of the pharmaceutical companies itself with regard to the vaccine and their exclusive monopoly, even though there was the logic to develop with public money?
Yeah, exactly. And the unfortunate thing is that they want to privatize the profits, even though that there was a big collective effort through public taxpayer money in order to help and accelerate the vaccine. And this is why we also think that it should be absolutely free and it should be made globally available.
Omar, I speak to somebody who's a housing advocate and is on the precipice of deep and profound concern, as I said, about the U.S. Supreme Court's holding that opens the door for tens of thousands, at least, of evictions to ensue. So the COVID-19 pandemic, certainly in my experience, has pushed untold millions of people into poverty. Could you talk about that as a juxtaposition of this enormous wealth? And then why? We shouldn't be happy about this because we're told the economies are, by and large, recovering. Well, does the economy per se recover because billionaires make their wealth grow exponentially? So there's a two-part to that. What is pushing folks in the pandemic, it should be obvious, but perhaps it isn't, into abject poverty as opposed to the wealth that is garnered by certainly the 1%.
People living in poverty are less likely to have access to decent health care when they're ill. They're more likely to work in jobs that can't be remote, that put them at greater risk of contracting the virus. And they are more likely to suffer from underlying health conditions that put them at greater risk. People living in poverty also work in sectors such as retail and tourism, and they have suffered big job losses. That takes a huge hit on the savings of the workforce. Meanwhile, wealthier people are more likely to be able to work from home, less likely to contract the virus, and can afford quality health care. This is why the people who are working class are more likely affected by the virus, and they're actually more vulnerable to housing displacement. And I think that actually generates a very interesting conversation about affordable housing and housing in general, and how housing should be a human right and not something that's done for profit, because we should be able to house every single person in the country. And there's actually more empty homes than there are people who are houseless. So that would be a big thing that we should advocate for, is rethinking housing and making sure that it's, we can even argue that make sure it's publicly owned or even publicly funded.
And is this all due to the pandemic in the last year and a half, or what was the role of the tax cuts under the Trump administration with regard to the corporate tax cuts and individual tax cuts for the wealthy?
Yeah, so the tax cuts follow the same logic that it has for the past 30, 40 years, which is that low taxes and tax breaks stimulate economic growth and job creation. That argument is outdated, and all the data has proven that it is false. The rich don't invest in productivity or in job creation. Instead, they gamble with the money, invest it in complex financial instruments, or they just end up lending it to the same government that should be taxing them. Today, IMF is in favor of a one-off solidarity tax on wealth and high incomes to help pay for the recovery, and that there should be no austerity going forward. We need radical reforms so we can redistribute, guarantee like a basic income, and this starts with levying a tax on wealth.
Am I being too cynical or perhaps too ultra-left to say, but this is as American as proverbial apple pie, that we don't really care, that the system is not made to care, that the system is capitalism, and it doesn't give a damn about whether or not the population of the world is curbed through the misery of a pandemic? I mean, is this, forgive me, almost a genocidal kind of reality, or just business as usual? I mean, how are we to understand this politically, that we see the enormity of this wealth for 1% as the world's people die and suffer enormous, terrifying miseries as a result of and push further down the ladder to impoverishment, certainly exacerbated by the pandemic? I mean, what are we to understand and take from this as a people who feel some sense of humanity and consideration, or people of conscience and goodwill?
This shows that we have an enormous opportunity in order to build the movement in the United States. I agree that, unfortunately, our system stacks the deck against us, but there are signs for improvement, for a brighter future. For example, a good majority of Americans agree that the economy is rigged in favor of the rich. This gives us an opportunity to organize, movement build, try to rebuild the labor movement, have more unions, more taxes on the wealthy. Obviously, this takes a lot of work, but it can be done. We're seeing some of the first steps towards building a more equitable society where the abundance is shared.
The $5.5 trillion that was garnered by this pandemic wealth tax on the rich, how would that be used, and how would it affect not only the United States, but the rest of the world?
With a 99% wealth tax on the $5.5 trillion made, first thing that we are advocating for is to end vaccine inequality. We estimate that each vaccine costs about $7. In order to be able to administer these vaccines and make it available globally, this 99% wealth tax will be able to fund that, in addition to giving people who suffered throughout the pandemic a $20,000 grant to help them get on their feet. They can use that money any way that they would like. It would definitely help paying off any debts or any back rent that they owe. In our report, just on the wealth tax from the profits they have made during the pandemic, this is what those resources will be used for.
And just to be clear, the distribution of vaccines from this mm-hmm. wealth tax would not just be to the United States, but the rest of the world, right?
Correct. Every single country in the world, correct.
Your study shows that the COVID-19 pandemic has pushed over 200 million people into poverty, and that's according to estimates by World Bank researchers. So just to take a different position on this from my earlier left jab at capitalism, but isn't it even enormously foolhardy of capitalism to not address this, because the consequences for the system, which isn't it incredibly, enormously short-sighted of capitalism in any event, to not advantage and deal with people falling into greater poverty and indeed absolute economic devastation in the U.S. and in the world community as well.
I agree 1,000%. And the billionaire class is actually aware of this issue. And this is why they're even having conferences talking about what can we do about economic inequality and how can we alleviate poverty and provide equal opportunity. But unfortunately, even though they have good intentions, they're actually missing the overall point, because the thing that they're most resistant to is taxation. You know, in liberal democracies, there are only two policy measures that governments can do to raise significant revenue and redistribute and alleviate poverty, and that's expropriation and taxation. And expropriation in the United States, for example, is very unlikely. So the biggest threat to billionaire wealth is taxation. So if they want more stability in the future, where there isn't going to be, like, let's say, like a revolution, if they're trying to push off a revolution, then they're going to have to be willing to have increased taxation on their wealth, and also to perhaps change some of the structures that maybe, you know, capitalism shouldn't privilege shareholders. Maybe it should privilege its stakeholders, people who are working for them every single day, who that's producing the wealth, and let workers at least, you know, keep a larger portion of the wealth that they produce. So I think for them, it would be more intelligent to follow that road and let governments regulate markets. Otherwise, we can have social unrest develop in the future.
So just to follow up on that, I know that part of your report talks about the United Nations Secretary General Antonio Guterres. Talk about what he's urged governments to consider in response to this, and what else you know of any other governments that are actually responding to the enormity of the profit margin from the billionaire class, and of course in the midst of COVID, as the rest of the world suffers economic and other hardship.
Even to the UN chief, he pushes for a tax on the rich and all those who have profited during the pandemic. This seems to be like a consensus. A little bit earlier, I mentioned how the IMF, which is for at least the past 30, 40 years, has been like the hub for like neoliberal structural readjustment policy throughout the global south. They have even come out in favor of some one-off wealth tax that helps pay for the recovery. I think has really shifted the narrative on the global scale. It makes people realize that everyone needs to pull their weight throughout the pandemic, and this includes the rich. And this is why it's essential for everyone in society to pay their fair share, instead of just capturing wealth and let it concentrate at the top, because that has a lot of negative consequences throughout society and our politics. So I'm pleased to see that people are starting to realize, even these institutions that have been advocating for austerity, that they're advocating for a wealth tax and some form of this redistribution.
In Argentina, the government has done something relevant to this. So if you could just talk about what Argentina has done and whether any other governments have begun to put a wealth tax that deals with the increasing inequality and the enormity of the devastation caused to people around the world as a result of COVID, or certainly their conditions devastatingly worsened with the advent of the COVID virus.
The Argentine government put forth a progressive 3.5% tax on wealth. The purpose of it was to pay for the consequences of that resulted from the pandemic. Last I checked, that they were able to raise about like $2.4 billion from that tax. Also, in the context of a pandemic, the country of Colombia, which has a right-wing president named Iván Duque, he also introduced a wealth tax of 1% on assets above $1.3 million. And the rate gets even more progressive the higher your assets. So the higher amount of your assets, the higher the tax rate. They said that the revenue raised from this wealth tax is going to be transferred to households that are in poverty or extreme poverty. So even right-wing governments are acknowledging that this vast inequality, especially in the context of the pandemic, is not sustainable and it's not good. It's not good for anyone.
We've been looking at inequality in the U.S. and abroad through the prism of the COVID pandemic. But even before the pandemic, for decades, the inequality in the United States has been growing. And I'd hate to think of us at the end of this pandemic, whenever that is, going back to the way we were before. So is there something we can do now to get a hold on post-pandemic in terms of decreasing inequality in this country?
I agree that we shouldn't focus just on the context of pandemic, because before the pandemic, inequality was really bad and is most likely to continue afterwards. I would say that the biggest threat to billionaire wealth is taxation. So therefore, our first step should be to raise taxes and strengthen tax enforcement. There's few taxes that I would advance. So a wealth tax, obviously. A second one would be a millionaire surtax. This is a tax, like a 10% tax on annual incomes over $3 million. And whether this income comes from dividends paid out by assets or wages or both, this could potentially raise $660 billion in the United States over the next decade. Another tax I would advocate for would be a more progressive estate tax. And the United States used to have in the progressive estate tax back in the 70s, but it has rolled back since then. And a progressive estate tax is something that's only applied to millionaires and billionaires. 99% of households in the U.S. would be exempt from it. All this is also to say that it's important to prevent such wealth concentration to happen in the first place. We could advocate for profit sharing in the workplace, or more democracy at work, or worker ownership, increase the labor movement, increase the level of unionization. And all this is to say is not to have wages dictated by the market. So at those policies, taxation plus an increased labor movement and more democracy at work, I think all those two combined would be able to stem wealth concentration that happened in the first place.
The coming together of the group is very important that put all these ideas together. So I wonder if you can talk about who they are. I'm drawn back in my mind to, I guess, roughly 10 years ago, when the enormous popularity and growth worldwide of Occupy Wall Street took off. There seemed to be buttons everywhere which were tax the rich, tax the 1%, looking systemically at the inequality of wealth distribution and the accumulation of profits. So who's come together to jumpstart these demands and concerns that you've raised together? Because I think that's important.
There's a lot of groups that are advocating for like a more economic justice initiatives. One would, I would say, would be the Democratic Socialists of America. They have advanced a pretty progressive agenda. The Movement for Black Lives is another one. They have also, they also add a racial justice and racial inequality as well. Then there's also other groups like the Sunrise Movement. They also provide like a climate lens. So all these are great, and they're all interconnected. And they're
and the patriotic millionaires. Who are they?
So the patriotic millionaires are people who are millionaires who believe that they need to be taxed more by the federal government, because they acknowledge that with their tax cuts, they're actually not going to reinvest in productivity, for example, that they'll probably just put it in some stocks or some shares or derivatives and basically just try to expand their capital without necessarily benefiting anyone else. So they recognize that they have, in order to decrease inequality, provide more equal opportunity, that they need to be taxed at a higher rate.
So this is all part of an analysis released by Oxfam, the Fight Inequality Alliance, the Institute for Policy Studies, and the Patriotic Millionaires, with others on board. And we really want to thank you so much for joining us. And Omar, is there any particular significant salient point that we might have left out that you want to punctuate this discussion with?
I just want to highlight that taxation is just one step. Movement building, establishing horizontal links between movements here and across the globe is crucial in order to fight for a more equitable and economically and environmentally sustainable world.
And I guess the issue is, I don't guess, we have to still continue to rail against the 1%, the 1%. Omar Ocampo, thanks for revealing your findings in the report released by Oxfam, the Fight Inequality Alliance, the Institute for Policy Studies, and the Patriotic Millionaires. Queen of soul, indeed. Aretha Franklin, Bridge Over Troubled Water. This has been Building Bridges with Ken Nash and Mimi Rosenberg. Educate, agitate, and organize for the empowerment of we the people, for another world is possible.